Welcome to the JRD Hogcast, your Razorback podcast for fans by fans. Here's your host, Dylan Lee. Joined, as always, with his co-host, Jordan Russell. And their producer, Luke Griggs.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the JRD Hogcast. We're coming up on a year of doing this now, and I just want to touch base and thank you for downloading and listening, and keep on listening. You can hit us up on the social media at JRD Hogcast on Twitter. We might eventually do that Facebook thing if we, you know, get the guts to do it. You can always go to our website, JRDHogcast.com. You can join the action, voice and text. Our number is 479-308-8605. So, Jordan, I was driving in today, tonight, actually, and it's kind of been a little bit of a pet peeve for me, but this one was pretty bad. So, I'm all for some Razorback decals and graphics on some vehicles. Minimal is kind of where I'm at with it. The real... You know,
with the exception of the Canaan mobile.
Yeah. Without that one's still nice, though. You know, right. It's not, you know, there's like a bug that goes around Northwest Arkansas that's got the tusk, and it's a full-blown, and it's a little much for me. I'm not going to lie there. But what I'm really honing in on with this one is the little decals and, like, the vinyl on the back window that you see on trucks. If you're going to do that, please do it straight. So many times do I see the hog running up or down into the ground. If you're going to be wrong about it, I feel like you got to have the hog running up. Don't have them running into the ground. We've already seen enough of that.
Maybe that's it.
What?
Maybe that's the point.
Do you think they're doing being maybe facetious?
Maybe it's one of those mood rings, if you will. And it goes up when things are looking good, down if it's going down.
They just adjust their vinyl based on the stock of the hogs and how the sports are going. So where would your hog be?
Are we talking the State of the Union?
Yeah, what is the state of the hog right now?
I think on your back glass? An upward trajectory right now.
Yeah.
Maybe just above 0 degrees.
Yeah, I feel like we just kind of smudged it. Like, it was definitely down, so we might be getting closer to level.
No, 2-3 degrees.
But you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Especially my OCD's stupid, man.
You know those tiny little silver ones, that they put on, like, tailgates and the hatches of cars and trunks?
They
can't get them straight. Swear.
I think you hate helping me at work because you're like, oh, God, yeah. I'm going to have to.
I'm like, this ain't your house. Let's move on.
Oh, God. Brock, if you're listening, he's kidding. my OCD is ridiculous. And I, you know, just sorry.
Man, you okay over there?
Throw it over here. Okay, we're good.
Jeez, but you're making Luke work for it.
Oh, hell, it's all natural. But it's not just. It's a lot of things with decals on vehicles, or I can't stand when you buy the cheap Walmart shirts, and a lot of those are the graphics are shifted one way or another. Or I had one myself, not that there's anything wrong with Walmart shirts, and it was an Arkansas shirt, and there was a difference of, like, the S in Arkansas was going underneath my pit. And there's like a 3-inch gap from where the A to the other side of my shirt.
So the lettering just wasn't center on your shirt,
It was terrible. So I threw that away immediately.
You got me looking at mine now. Okay, I think
that's
I'm good.
That's high quality right there, dude. You're fine.
Well, speaking of Walmart, man, did you see this John Daly gift to Sam Pittman?
I did.
Now, the only reason I bring up Walmart is because I swear I saw that jacket at Walmart sitting there. And I'm like, man, I wouldn't even buy that. But you know who would? And it's probably higher quality, hopefully, than what we saw at the Walmart.
Pittman, no, it's not.
Who knows? Who knows?
It's not.
I really want to know, did John Daly get Sam Pittman a Razorback sports coat? Completely covered in Razorbacks, which, again, okay.
Isn't there a specific word for that kind of jacket?
A blazer?
Blazer, yeah, thank you. Yeah,
okay.
Isn't that what that is?
I don't know. Luke is definitely the higher class one of us. So.
And that is sad. I've seen Luke dressed up, and it's my dress up.
Oh, no, he can dress up. I will vouch for him. He can dress up.
Well, next time we sit in Meteor Row, Luke, dress the part. Damn it, I didn't know this was a thing.
Hey now.
I bet Daly wears Walmart.
You bet he went down to Walmart and got, I mean,
what's Pittman gone? Might have gone a little higher class and went to Dillard's for his blazer for the press conference when he was announced.
I know Juracek wore that too. The same blazer that we're talking about that was completely covered. I've seen Juracek wearing it as well. Actually,
right. It's a rite of passage.
Wasn't he wearing that in that picture that was circulating around while Chad Morris was still the coach?
First of all, you said his name. Second of all, I know.
He was sitting in that presser, you know, the one he's sitting there head down. Yeah,
everybody knows that one. He might have been.
I thought he was. Was he wearing that one or the red? Because that makes it even sadder. That picture now. I can't remember if it was a straight red blazer or if it was a Razorback one. But if it's a Razorback one,
let me ask you this: if it was a Razorback one, were the Hogs looking down?
They were definitely looking down. They go the way of the shoulders.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but that's got to be a rite of passage, right? I mean, that's like Daly welcoming you into the university, kind of like, hey, well, man, I almost said it.
I mean,
you know that thing going around like I mess with you, but the other word.
Yeah. So I mean, it makes sense there. So you could have gotten pants that matched the jacket or the blazer, but you just got the blazer. So I probably would have taken. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I have some red Dockers with some Razorbacks on them that sit in the closet, which I don't think you've even seen me wear. So they have not been busted out.
My God, Dylan. You literally don't own anything that doesn't have a little something of a Razorback on it.
It's tough to find. So I was looking for plain polos for an event coming up around next month or so, and just I can't find anything. So it's like, oh, I got a long sleeve, nice black, you know, button up here. That'll work. Pull it out. Oh, there's a little Razorback above the chest piece. I'm like, of course there is.
You can't.
I thought this one was completely black. But nope. Okay.
Here's something. You're younger than me. You haven't lived all of your life, but I've got to tell you something.
Yes, I have. I've lived all of my life.
No.
I've been alive for all of my life.
The whole time. So when you're looking for shirts not Razorback related, you have to get out of the Razorback shop.
Oh.
You understand what I'm saying? So, no. If you're in Walmart, and man, they need to sponsor this show for this.
Not Walmart.
They've got the Razorback section. Then you've got the Razorback Sports Shop. Mm-hmm. But there's also other stores in Northwest Arkansas that are not specific to the Arkansas Razorbacks.
Yeah, that's where you go and get your significant other, you know, like jewelry or something. You know, and go get her.
Or find polos without Razorbacks on them.
You're talking crazy now.
Well, we'll maybe listen. I know what event you're talking about, and it's my wedding. If you show up there with Razorbacks, I'm not mad at you.
Hey, if it's the black one that I'm talking about, it can be hidden with a blazer
that will be full of Razorbacks.
You said Woo Pig. What version of Woo Pig do you want?
Verbal. I want it to be verbal. Can you imagine, though, if we showed up there? Because her and I are not going to see each other that day. So, until
makes sense. Yeah, makes sense.
And
a blind
can you imagine how
be terrible.
Pissed off she'd be if she walks up in that chapel and you and I are up there just sporting the hell out of some Razorback gear?
So part of me is like, she's
going to see that, and she's going to be like, that son of a bitch. But then also there's going to be part of her that's like, I'm not surprised.
I'm far from traditional with a lot of stuff, but I'm pretty sure you're not supposed to kill the official on the wedding.
Oh, trust me. If we were both rocking it, I'd be the first one dead.
Oh, yeah?
If you were the only one rocking it, I think if you jump high enough, there's a window at the back that you might could get out.
If I'm doing that, I'm wearing the Razorback tennis shoes. I'm not wearing no dress shoes. I got to get to getting it, you know?
Or just immediately hit your knees, turn around, pray to Jesus that whatever's coming at you doesn't hurt you.
Well, we'll be in a chapel, so got to have something bless me.
She is religious, obviously, so maybe God will speak to her and be like, not today. Not today, Satan. Well, babe, I'm not calling you Satan. That wasn't where that was at.
I'm sorry, Grace.
So anyway, we...
I already broke the rule, so we might as well get on to this news.
You did.
News that came out of Auburn? Is it news?
It is news.
Well, it's surprising.
One might call it fake news.
It's got to be fake news, right? I can't buy this that Gus Malzahn is going to give full control of the offense to Chad Morris.
That's twice in one show. They can't be because he wants to win, correct?
Maybe.
Do you think he really is? I really don't think he is. I think that they have caught a lot of shit and they're like, dude, you've got to say it. You've got to say it. Or Morris is like, bro, help me out here. Tell him you're giving it to me.
You think Malzahn and Morris are trying to go have themselves a buyout vacation somewhere?
Oh, I mean, that's the ultimate end game, yes. I mean,
collect our tens of millions and go to Bermuda.
Because Malzahn's not making it out of this year, right? It's going to be like after Alabama beats them.
I mean, that's going to be deep in the season. So at what point? I mean,
well, that's at the end of the year.
Two losses, the seed is on fire.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think three or four, it's done deal, right?
Well, it's two losses leading up to the Bama game.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, he will finish the year, but this will be the last Iron Bowl he attends. So, with that being said, Morris takes his buyout money because we still are paying him something because he did a lot of good things here. Malzahn just signed an unbelievable contract last year or 2 years ago because of us.
Oh, that's something we missed on the – you said contract and I thought order on. We'll talk about that. Yeah. We got to talk on that.
And so the two of them combined, I mean, hell, that's probably be looking at a $25, $30 million vacation.
Yeah, exactly. You think they let Chandler out of school from OU or something? You know he's not going to be busy there.
You don't think he'll be busy at OU?
I mean, not the first year. They got Spencer Radler there, the future. I can't talk OU football.
Yeah, I can't do it. We'll lose listeners looking at you, Dalton. But I thought that it was kind of ironic that the steam has been getting a little bit heavier about this, and then all of a sudden, yeah, he's got full control. So I'm calling bullshit.
Oh, absolutely. I can't buy into that.
So. And speaking of bullshit.
But who is buying into something? Hey, we both segue there. LSU. Yeah. Wow.
Do you have the numbers there? It's 6 years, $42
million? Yeah. I know it's $6 million annually, and then he'd get the bonuses on top of that to where he can come out $7 million a year. Ed Orgeron getting that payday.
Deserved yet? That's substantial, I guess.
It's really hard to tell with this season because, I mean, you have to give him credit because, yes, he built the staff, kind of. I mean, but it was also all through the season, it was, you know, Joe Brady is the quarterback savant here and, you know, is the whole offense and all that kind of thing. So it's like, how much was Orgeron? But I think Orgeron obviously deserves an extension.
Right.
That's a pretty big one, but you almost have to because if he puts together anywhere close, because he doesn't have to put together the same season next year. He has the excuse that he doesn't have Joe Brady anymore, and he can go and lose three games, and he'll still be like, oh, man, he's doing real good.
Well, I mean, I honestly think that winning three games next year, given everything that they lost, is
losing.
Not a, huh?
You said winning three games.
Just
winning three games, he's probably gone.
Yeah, right. Losing three games, I feel like that's reasonable. I mean, it's bare covers at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for everything that happened on the field this year. So
I think
the defense will be okay, but they seem to rotate those DBs like Alabama rotates running backs.
Did you happen to see Clemson's 2020 schedule?
I did not.
So they do have Notre Dame.
Yeah,
they do have Notre Dame, which, of course, we do. So, but looks, you know, kind of besides Notre Dame, which I'm not actually seeing on this schedule anymore. Maybe I was wrong about that. Okay, there it is. Besides Notre Dame, looks like the hardest game they've got is the orange-white spring game.
Well, Syracuse is in there, too.
Syracuse.
That's
one
that always scares them every year, right?
So, yeah, looking at it, they've got Georgia Tech, Louisville, Akron, Virginia, Boston College, Florida State, NC State, Syracuse, bye week. The bye week goes into Notre Dame. And then they have the Citadel, Wake Forest, South Carolina, and, you know, ACC championship. Yeah. So, I mean, looking at that, it sounds like another undefeated regular season for them.
I feel like Trevor Lawrence is actually going to ball out next year.
Take that step, huh?
Yeah. So, I mean, his first 2 years, he's got national championship experience. So, when, if ever, is there a conference reshuffle?
Really, I think the conference reshuffle or something like that would happen if the Longhorn Network drops, because you want to have that Big 12. You want to be able to have that. So the Big 12 will eventually have their own network. It's just a matter of working that thing out with the Longhorn Network.
It was the Hog.
I was wondering what he was doing to our notes here, and it was definitely the Hog one. That one is not as loud. That jacket is not as loud as the Sam Pittman
that
one.
Face is. My God.
They are definitely pointing down.
So this is not in the notes here, which was almost good because Luke scared the hell out of us. But the conference reshuffle, there was a lot going around last week before on Twitter about how disgusting it is for the idea of Arkansas going to the Big 12. I don't hate that.
I think the same money would be there if they have their own network. You know, everyone, you've got the same folks that are going to sit there and be SEC fans. I am not one of those.
I take pride in the fact we're in the SEC, but there has to come a point where you quit riding the coattails of Alabama mm-hmm. and saying you're part of the SEC's dominance.
Right.
Because that's not how it works.
I mean, but it's three teams as of last year that you can say are elite, and that's Georgia, LSU, and Alabama. I mean,
right.
And then there's a big drop-off. So.
Because we've not been relevant. This is not going to make a lot of people happy, but we've not been relevant in the SEC for a decade.
In football. I mean, everyone else thinks.
In football, right.
That's kind of the argument there is that, you know, baseball keeps us in the SEC, which not even really that true. I mean.
What's the argument there?
Because we're, you know, we go to the College World Series back-to-back, but in terms of things, it's all money-driven. So the only thing that I don't like about going to the Big 10 is, or Big 12, sorry, Big 8, Big 12, you know, they can't count. I can't count.
Mm-hmm.
But the only thing that is the network. If they don't have a network, we don't get the same revenue money. That's what allows us to be a better program and have the facilities that we do. On top of the amazing boosters and folks in terms of, you know, Walmart and Tyson and all the big corporations that we have in Northwest Arkansas and in Little Rock as well. But if we also get split revenue from the SEC network, that's not the case with the Big 12 because of the Longhorn Network. So until that gets fixed up, I wouldn't even want to entertain that idea.
Strictly revenue, okay. Well, revenue
every,
was
every move
up.
Like that is going to be revenue based.
I understand that, but I was kind of asking more of a competitive standpoint. I genuinely think even in our worst years, we don't finish quite as bad as we have been in football.
Oh yeah, I mean we definitely would play better, but the basketball
better just have less basketball. Yeah, we'd be like
the years like the mediocre years with Anderson would look really bad because
in basketball,
because, you know, the Big 12 was up on basketball when the SEC was on their way up. So,
right.
Like, if you kind of correspond those years together, we wouldn't have done very well, and Mike Anderson probably would have been gone quicker in the Big 12. Mm-hmm. And everybody's going to bring up the fact that when he was at Missouri and in the Big 12, blah, blah, blah. Okay, yeah, we know that, but anyhow.
But no, at that point, though, the Big 12 was the conference guys wanted to play for.
Mm-hmm.
And the ACC. And those are two conferences that, well, see, I mean, the ACC, I'm talking about Duke and North Carolina, obviously, but
oh, yeah, gotta get that
Syracuse
back.
Sometimes comes in there. Well, yeah, you're talking the NCAA stuff, but it's kind of why recruits draw themselves to the SEC in football. They draw themselves to the Big 12 in basketball.
Mm-hmm.
But as of right now, where we sit currently in all sports across the board, excluding the financial benefit or detriment to leaving, I think we could be looking at possibly more wins across the board, because the track team is, they're going to dominate. I mean, they're nationally ranked every year. So
it don't matter.
Yeah. But I was just, like I said, wasn't in the rundown, but thought I'd pick your brain about that.
I do agree that I think we get more wins. Do I think it's best, or would I like it? No, I don't like the idea of it. I don't understand it. You know, some people want to sit there and be like, oh, travel-wise and all that kind of stuff. It's like, yeah, but eventually we would have to play West Virginia. Like, it's you have those everywhere. And in today's age, travel really doesn't mean anything. You can't bring that one up to me. Now, if it was something as dumb as
for being fans, I think. The argument.
Going
there.
To the game. And what? I mean, it's still a long drive to get to, you know, Lubbock.
If we're Lubbock playing Texas. Is one. West Virginia, but you have Texas, I guess, would kind of be. But you got TCU, not too bad. Oklahoma, not too bad.
Right.
Oklahoma State, not too bad. Kansas State wouldn't be too bad.
Yeah, I don't know. What's Manhattan? Is it like 7?
I think it's 6 or 7, something like that. But we could.
I don't know. It just
feels, it's irrelevant.
It feels just weird. We're in it. Like,
yeah,
it's definitely a hypothetical that I don't see ever happening.
I don't know if I'd agree with that. I think it could. No, soon, probably not, but I think it's something that it's brought up every year. But like you say, Longhorn Network,
it's brought up every year because it's an easy dig to take at us. Oh, Arkansas sucks, so it's, you know, they should go to the Big 12. It's like, and sometimes I see it from Big 12, you know, like OU, and it's like, you do realize you're dissing your conference at that point, right? Like, what kind of insult is that as an OU, Texas, you know, Big 12 fan? Are you going to sit there and be like, Arkansas was so bad, they should just come play us? That doesn't make sense. Move along.
They can't count. Come on. Hey, so.
They just want to be the actual Big 12 then. They just would need to grab their people. Go talk to Houston.
That'd be a good one. So there's some stuff that's in the news today.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird. In terms of really sports wise, we've got Razorback stuff going on, but there's so much stuff going outside of Arkansas right now. We would be not doing any, you know, it wouldn't be fun not to talk about the stuff that's going on.
Well, you've got to, and like we said, we're going back to possibly one time a week for a little bit and stuff, but once baseball and basketball is in the prime, we good. But until then, this is I'm actually, to be honest with you, I'm going to kind of segue real quick. Where's the XFL talk? But anyway, Antonio Brown.
We might talk about the rules, because I feel like the rules we can dive
those
into.
Those are interesting. I like those.
Maybe next episode we'll talk a little bit more in the XFL rules.
This is the XFL podcast.
It's just one of those deals that's like, it's hard for something like that, because how are you going to get the fandom? I can't just organically. I don't know any Arkansas connections off the top of my head. That's obviously the first route I would go. Because when AFL was going, Memphis, you know, and Drew Morgan tried out there, and I feel like we had another Hawk.
When Sterner was in Arena Football.
But when that was going on, I was like, oh, I'll pay a little bit to Memphis, but I really, the only thing I know is that I won't root for Dallas, and it's not because of a Dallas thing. It's because they got Bob Stoops as the coach right. there. So,
again, we'll hit on that one pretty good next episode. But Antonio Brown has lost his and it's you're laughing and sort of kind of meant it to be funny, but
No, good on the judge. I mean, we'll talk. I'm sure you want to give the rundown on this.
Well, I was actually pulling up all of his charges right now because he's got felony
battery and burglary.
Burglary, which is another word I don't love to say out loud, but
no.
Can I get this off the screen? That'd be great. Thank you. So he is being charged with felony. First of all, I believe he had a warrant out for his arrest for this, and I believe he ran from the cops for a hot minute, right? Or hid. I don't know about ran, but
no, he turned himself in. Once the warrant was issued, so
Anyway, they're talking about life in prison for this dude right now.
Yeah, though that was the sentencing on it, but because of the felony charges kind of sandwiched together.
Yeah, and
that's not likely. I mean, I've watched a lot of Boston Legal here recently, so it's not gonna happen.
And dude, between that and my Judge Judy watching I've been doing here lately, JRD law firm. I mean, I'm just saying. But he's burglary with battery charge and all this stuff. He was bonded out on $100,000. But this is what I want to talk about. I've sort of been on the fence about this CT stuff. Mm-hmm. Is this the fame getting to him, or is this Vontaze Burfict getting to him?
Okay, so I knew you were going to go that route, Burfict at least, because that was going around Twitter real fast, real quick. It's hard to, you know, tie it down to one specific hit. Obviously, that was a real nasty one. But the judge is also ordering a mental health evaluation, which
is super necessary.
Yeah, which is phenomenal on that side. And I think it does kind of open the light to CTE, but I also feel like he was out there already, but he just wasn't to this degree. And, I mean, without really getting too much into the whole anatomy and everything like that, that frontal lobe of your brain is the decision-making lobe. So If there's some damaging going on there and, you know, he's making these kind of decisions, there might be something. Obviously not a doctor. This is, you know, what I know as a layman. So it wouldn't be far-fetched, but the problem with this, well, not the problem, but the only real science that they have behind CTE research is post-mortem. So,
right.
You have all these other players. Junior Seau is probably the biggest one I can think of off the top of my head that donated their brain for the research. Rob Gronkowski is one that said he will, when the time comes, donate as well. So there will be that, but when the actual, you know, I don't think there'd be too much of a solution here. I mean, it's damaged. You can contain it and control and find other ways, but you can't truly fix it.
No, he could be a good, I'd say, subject, but.
Because think about it just as the average football player, the fact that you essentially pissed away the opportunity to go and play with the greatest quarterback of all time with Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe be the difference, and maybe they can be playing, you know, could have been in the Super Bowl. You know, who knows? The defense probably wasn't there, but, you know, he had a pretty golden opportunity, and granted that did start because of some other stuff in Oakland and freezing your feet off. I mean, the timeline on him is crazy.
Well, that's kind of where I'm at with it is it just once it started, it didn't stop until he went to prison or jail. I guess he hadn't been in prison yet. But, like, it was the crap going on in Pittsburgh, and then it was the stuff with the Raiders, and then it was the video of him excited. He got out of the Raiders contract, and then he gets with the Patriots. And just what happened there? The NFL took over, I believe, right, and suspended him. And then the Patriots released him.
Well, the domestic stuff started coming out.
Sexual assaults and stuff, yeah. That's right. And so the Patriots released him, and then he's just gone off rails. I mean, did you ever see that video of him with his baby mama. I say baby mama because I'm not sure if it was.
Honestly, I've been trying to avoid stuff like that now. I used to be one of those, like, oh, I'll watch it and everything like that. And it's just like, what's the point? Like, I'll read articles on it and I don't need to watch that.
In real time,
in person, that whole thing. But,
well, no, I didn't watch the live. Don't get me wrong there. It was a video of the after the fact. But anyway, it just boom, 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 boom. Just they all started stacking up. And
I mean, I'm not going to lie. When he was doing the whole freezing your feet in the Oakland stuff, I'm like, man, this guy's like a mad hatter, you know, kind of an evil genius to try to get out of Oakland because, you know, saw the writing on the wall or whatever. And, you know, jokingly, I said he's going to end up as a Patriot. And that's what happened. And it's like, that almost sounded like a good move. And then it's like, oh, no, he's just Looney Tunes.
He's just out of it, yeah. But when I wrote this one in the rundown, I actually was one to kind of close to being letting it be a burn me up because of the fact, like you said, you're just pissing away your opportunities. You're a prima donna. You can't get out of your own way. But honestly, kind of as we sit here and we were fixing to start talking about it, I'm like, I wonder if he's got some brain issues because of football.
Yeah, it's definitely something to be brought up and be talked about, and wouldn't surprise me if that's what's going on, but I don't know how they're going to figure that out.
I'll be honest with you. He is the kind of guy that at this point, I think they probably need to have under 24-hour surveillance.
Well, when he was in front of the judge, he was wearing an anti-suicide smock to prevent that kind of stuff. So when he was in holding, they were trying to prevent that. I'm just reading what I saw in the articles on that side, you know. But they're, you know, the jail put him in that for a reason. So verbally or whatever, he had to have said something that made him want to put that in. Because everyone behind him that was seeing court today were, you know, they were in the normal colors.
Right. So anyway, something we'll keep an eye on and keep you guys posted. If you even care to hear it, you can let us know at JRD Hogcast and JRD. Hogcast.com and all the other outlets we have available here. But let's move on to some not depressing. That's how the Twitter world would make it seem as of right now. But we're
not surprising for us, me and you.
No, me and you. No, we're fine with it. But men's basketball has dropped two games in a row. One against Kentucky. I believe we talked about that, didn't we? No, we haven't talked since the Kentucky game. That one is a whole slew of issues in itself. The issues with the Kentucky game I have is we didn't seize the opportunity when Calipari got ejected, kicked out of the game because he meant to do that. Let me ask you something about that.
I got the GOAT. I got the GOAT queued up. You want me to go ahead? We'll just let the GOAT take over.
I saw a picture of you on Twitter. I think Andrew might have posted it. You were at the basketball game. It looked like you were having some fun when Calipari.
I was just stretching my arm. It was a little sore. Yeah.
That was a big hit, though. I mean, you waving goodbye. I mean, just.
Well, I was from me to you from him. When he was over there yelling, I read his lips. I knew everything he said. And it wasn't nice. And basically, in my opinion, he was trying to get thrown out of the game, fire his team up, and it worked. But. Yeah, he got after one official pretty good. They don't like him very much.
Dave Van Horn, gotta love the guy.
That was my question. So Van Horn has been known to get kicked out or
get fired up. Yeah.
Yeah. What would be, first of all, is that good sportsmanship?
On purpose? Getting thrown on purpose? Interesting. Because, I mean, if you're looking at the black and white, no. I wouldn't say it is because the referees and umpires or whatever game you're playing, they're a part of it and they're a part of the sport. And so part of sportsmanship is respecting them and ultimately respecting the call. But we know how that is. It's competitors and, yeah.
And then you've got, while this is all going on, you happen to be in a huddle with your assistants, with the players, kind of jotting some stuff down.
Yep.
Surely not talking about the game, right? They're concerned about their coach.
You think they got to buy an extra long timeout? I mean, they had three or four of them. I think the still that was getting around Twitter that they were referring to with Dave Van Horn waving goodbye. One thing, you know, it looks like it. I don't know the player off the top of my head, but one of the Kentucky players, because that was definitely the loudest that state, Bud Walton Arena had been.
Fingers in the ear?
Yeah, fingers in the ear, plugging them.
So I talked to a guy after work that was there and said a lot of the players had that going on.
Yeah.
The players on the bench had that going on. But so, to me, I think that that's unsportsmanlike to intentionally do it. It makes sense. It's going to juice your players up. Oh, well, you know, coach is ready for us. And again, we just said Van Horn, the GOAT, he's done it.
Nolan Richardson.
I'm saying that knowing that. But my question is what's the penalty?
I mean,
what would you do?
I feel like the pros, NBA, they have something for back to back and double T's, and they have a running count. Off the top of my head, don't know the NCAA level of that, but as a head coach at that level, you know, suspension, you know, to be part of it, but only if it's a reoccurring deal, you know, you have to rack up a few.
Well, he admitted that the first technical was on purpose.
Right.
Calipari did.
Yeah.
So was the second one. I mean, were you mad that you got what you wanted? You know what I'm saying?
You know, I have a problem with the objective fouls.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
right.
When it comes to a technical, you know, if you have a ref that can just simply sit there and be like, oh, well, that was on purpose, so you're gone. And they just completely get rid of the second one. So in that case, if you really feel like he's pushing your buttons on purpose, you know, the idea of, you know, just tee him up again like they did and get him out of there. But writing in a rule or writing something in there to maybe prevent that, I don't see how you – I would be interested to see if they could write a rule. I mean, the NCAA probably won't do anything about it.
Well, that's their baby, so they're not going to do anything because of him.
I would be interested to see what they would do to try to prevent something like that if they wanted it to be prevented.
Yeah, so the problem I had with it, though, is at that point we had the lead thinking, hell yeah, this is looking good.
Killed a lot of momentum.
It did kill a lot of momentum, but it also brought some in too.
On the other side, I mean, ejections work like that. It can either continue the run that caused it. Usually, they're caused by a reason, or in this case, it puts together a comeback. And
15-0 run after that, and we couldn't recover, and
we couldn't hit anything though.
There was a point in that game where I'm like, by God, we're about to do this, and didn't come to light there. And then obviously on Wednesday they dropped the game against Mississippi State. Didn't see that one coming in the sense of, like, I thought it could be an interesting game, but you were mentioning Reggie Perry for Mississippi State. People are still upset about.
Oh yeah, they're still salty on that one.
But he tore us up with 26 points. The rebounds were not as big of a deal. We still got out rebounded 31-41, but it wasn't nothing like the 2-point win against LSU when we got out rebounded by what, 600-700? Can't remember what the total was there, but
there were some people, and obviously the bias there, but they were so, I wouldn't say upset with the game, but they were trying to find excuses left and right. The big one was because of the stripe, which there was a big discrepancy there, but you know, they're not always going to be even. If the game was, you know, designed like that to the point where it's like, okay, every team will get 50, you know, you get 50% fouls, you get the other 50% fouls, then why are you playing it? So they were
shooting 20 more though.
Yeah, shooting 20 more, but they, you know, they were playing their game, especially at the end, trying to get every possession as they can and, you know, fouling the shooter. And I mean, Perry, and going into that, was like a 68% free throw shooter. You're not expecting that guy to only miss three when he takes
14 of 15.
Yeah, 14 for 15. He only missed one. And half of his points came from the stripe. He did what they did. That was the game plan, because guess what? We're a small team, like we have said this whole time. He's 6'10". He was getting a foot over our tallest guy on the court. That was the game plan. That should be the game plan.
That's going to be what it is.
We talked about this a month ago, 2 months ago.
Until next year comes, that's going to be what this is. And it's easy to sit there and be upset every week that a big guy's tearing you up and you don't have Vanover out there.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that, but we don't have him. So you got to make do with what you can. Again, I still say we're a tournament team. I still say we can make it in the round of 32. Maybe depending on matchups, we could flirt with the Sweet 16. We don't know what the bracket's looking like and seeding and all that stuff. So until then, I guarantee you each week, Musselman is trying to find a way for size not to beat us like it has.
I think with this squad, they are really set up for a tournament because they are pretty hard to game plan for in terms of the four guard shoot and everything of that nature. So teams would have to peek ahead to their bracket and just kind of have that because you're not going to see that every night. You know, it's an easy implement to be able to implement and just give it to your big if you have one. But I really think they're laid out good conditioning-wise for a tournament if they can get there. 32 kind of seems to be the plateau here, but I think we're playing with house money. I mean, you know.
Absolutely we are.
Going into this season, you know, NIT would have been lovely, and we're just getting ahead of ourselves, and I've told you multiple times this is going to be the worst Musselman team, in theory, he will
until
have.
Until he's gone, ideally.
Until he's gone, and... I mean, it's poor choice of words because I don't think this is a bad team.
No, it's just, relative. It's going to be the worst team that he has, and I agree with you. An interesting stat, too, you brought it up the other day when we were talking. We made 8 more field goals than they did and still lost, and that obviously is the 21 points that they made up on us with the free throws. But it is interesting. I mean, we made more points than them. We had a better field goal percentage than them, and we lost by 7. That's
so. Talking on Musselman, what kind of, in terms of Razorback performances that we have seen in these last few months, what is more impressive for you? Dre Greenlaw pretty much killing it as a 5th-round draft pick for the 49ers and being a reason that they're in the Super Bowl. Sam Pittman salvaging this recruiting class, or what Musselman's been doing?
I'm going to be a creature of the moment and do what Musselman's been doing, and here's why. Greenlaw, we said, would do good in the NFL if he was given the chance. Mm-hmm. He was given the chance. Not surprising. Impressive, but not surprising.
He's done that at every level.
Every
he's
level.
He's been able to rise
he's
to
been
it.
The underdog and
he's a gamer.
Shown why.
He's a smart guy.
Sam Pittman in recruiting class, we knew when we hired him, he's a damn good recruiter. We knew a lot of kids are going to like Kendall Briles higher. We knew Odom was a slam dunk defensive coordinator. Well, can we say slam dunk yet? I don't know. But on paper, that's a damn good, that's probably the best hire out of everybody. So, Musselman.
And,
because it has to be without a doubt. Because credit to you, you saw his name as an option where not a lot of people did. So, you kind of knew. But that's, like you said, or actually, I disagree with you. You said maybe an NIT would be a good thing this year with Anderson. We wouldn't have been there. He has taken this team. He's
no. I meant with when we had Musselman. So if Anderson was at what we won't get into there. But when Musselman was hired, we didn't play a single game. Like we were looking and we're like, man, if we can make an NIT, this would be phenomenal.
Yeah. Right. And we haven't made the tournament yet, but we think we will. And this team, he has done a damn good job. He's done what every coach at this level and beyond should do. He's taken what he's had, and he's made it work.
Right.
And he's made it work to their strengths. He's letting Joe shoot. We talk about this all the time. He lets people shoot. That's what we need. We need people to shoot because we're not going to get rebounds. We're not going to beat you up inside. So – if you get a shot, if you get a look, take it. Chaney's freaking out there busting threes. So I think he's by far the most impressive surprise or whatever you want to call it.
Performance the last few
performance,
months.
Yeah.
So I was listening to Ruskin and Zach.
Good people.
And they mentioned Joe's haircut. And that
which
also
has pissed me off because it looks like freaking Jimmy Witt when you can't see the numbers on the TV.
And then they also mentioned Chelsea Dungy. She's got a new look going on as well. And it threw me off in pregame when we went and watched the game. Because I saw 33 and I was like, that's not her head. And then she turned around and was like, oh, that's Chelsea Dungy. So she's rocking some longer hair. And they were talking about it and they're like, so is that why they've been going cold? Like, they were stretching for that much of content that they were talking about the player's hair. But I mean, since Joe's had the haircut, he hasn't been hitting. And Chelsea Dungy didn't have, you know, her kind of game. But it also, I'm not going to lie, just from what I was seeing, it looked like it affected Chelsea Dungy because she was messing with her hair a lot during the game.
Well, I didn't get to go because work and stuff, so I don't know what you're talking about. Did she not have it?
No, she didn't. Like, no, it's dreaded. I mean, I didn't go and see courtside or anything, but from the media row there, that looked like it was dreaded up. So, yeah,
didn't catch that. But that
and
is
it's a good look and everything, and to each their own on that kind of thing. But that's what they were talking about on the radio was players' hair. And I mean, I guess yesterday they were talking cheesecake.
Well, that's that's where we're at right now in the sports world, and it is what it is. You got to stretch for content, and you know what? You just brought up the hair.
I did just bring up the hair, but I mean, it's a circle.
It is a circle, but and then as far as the women go, they beat the living dog shit out of Vanderbilt, 100-66. So that's great. But then they dropped a surprising one to Georgia yesterday, 64-55. Again, got caught at work, so I couldn't make it with Luke and Dylan to the game. So Dylan can kind of give us a little synopsis of what he thinks went wrong.
Yeah, so Georgia came in with a great game plan. They knew where we were at, and so we're going to have a lot of parallels. We talked about this. The men and the women are going to have scouting reports against them that look a lot the same. Take it inside. They're not very tall, that whole deal, and they – Georgia protected the perimeter very well, forced us to drive, and the drive wasn't successful. We were missing a lot of layups, a lot of blocks. I don't know. I feel like it was probably double digits in the blocks for Georgia, and that just was kind of how it was. And it's tough to win a game like that. And the second half, we kind of adjusted, and it looked like they were, you know, being even more aggressive with the drive. I was hoping it would lead to a dish, but that just wasn't it. We were getting about, I think we had two. I think we two or three made threes in 12 or 13 attempts.
Had 3 of 16.
3 of 16.
And I've got to out you, bro. What's that? Optics. Optics got you.
What?
We outblocked them 6-4.
What? No.
Yep.
Oh, jeez. Because it definitely just seemed like it was getting returned all the time. So.
Or I'm sorry. They outblocked us 6-4.
Okay. But I'm still surprised that it was 6-4 because
yeah,
it seemed like everything was getting returned.
they were hitting underneath the backboard, maybe.
Yeah, maybe they were just getting stripped out before they might have been steals or going out of bounds. I mean, the finish wasn't there.
Tip balls and stuff like that. So obviously wasn't there, but we've gotten the opportunity to go a lot. Shout out Mario, but. It seems like with the exception of, I'm going to say off the top of my head, Galden and Tofrey, when our ladies get in the lane, they're looking to pass. I guess Dungy too, but that's kind of a given. But, you know, you're talking about they were forcing us to drive and all that stuff. I don't think they're equipped to finish those because it seems like they're constantly looking to pass it out instead of going up and getting to the line.
It definitely felt like I saw a lot of that with Daniel. She would get deep and get under there, and it would be a dish. But it's not really setting them up because they were protecting the perimeter so well. And I think they were ready for that. I think that's the scouting report on them is the driving dish. And they weren't scared for them to go and finish it because they rarely do. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got two that will go up for it, and that's Dungy and Daniels sometimes.
And Daniels is do you think she's kind of gotten a little timid in the SEC play? Because we got to see her.
She slowed down from her start because she had a great start to the season in non-con play as a true freshman.
And yeah, not a knock. She's young.
She's going to be a bright spot for this program.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But do you think the stage has gotten kind of big for her maybe?
Maybe a little bit. Obviously, we're not in the room and knowing the scouting report or what the game plan is. I think it has kind of, you know, welcome to the SEC kind of deal.
Yeah, and looking here at the stat line, I mean, Tofrey kind of
Who was it?
For her?
Barnum. Barnum was kind of the bright spot for me.
She was the leading scorer.
Stepped out, took a three, was very nice there. I think she had two and one plays. It was her best game of the season, I think. She was definitely the bright spot of that game, and surprisingly, I'm not going to lie about that one.
And it's definitely not echo what we said about the men. Still think it's a tournament team, still think Neighbors can get the job done. My dad actually texted me and said Dungy seemed to be playing some pretty good defense last night.
Last two games, I don't know if she's listening or not, but she said she was trying to tell you to shut up. That's what she was doing.
Hey, if that's what it takes, girl, get it. Get them steals. But not a reason for panic or anything. Both of our coaches are dealing with short people. I mean, it is what it is.
There's a solid foundation being built in the basketball center on both sides.
Yep. Still,
recruiting class on both sides is going to be really good.
Every damn recording we get an opportunity to say this, I'm going to say it. If you're listening and you have a chance, get to Bud and watch these girls. They're fun to watch. They've kind of, they're, like I said, just beat the hell out of Vanderbilt, but, I feel like everybody's doing that right now. But get in there, support them. I mean, they need it.
Absolutely. And they're not fighting.
And they're not fighting.
Was that too obvious?
No, I like it because this one, so we're talking about the Kansas and Kansas State brawl. If you haven't seen it, if you're like me, it's not worth the watch because it just pisses you off. But if you want to be.
My favorite is the one that they dubbed with the WWE wrestlers because you got players lifting chairs over their heads and stuff. And they put some wrestling commentary over it. And it's like Jim Ross over there talking about having a chair.
To give you a quick rundown, if you haven't seen it, Kansas beating the crap out of Kansas State. 5 seconds left, dude. DeSosa, whatever his name is sitting there dribbling it out. Kansas State player steals the ball, takes off down court, fixes to go for layup. DeSosa. He's goes up, blocks the crap out of him. Dude falls. Sosa stands over him, and then all hell broke loose. Bench is cleared. Punch is thrown. All this happened underneath the basket where they had handicapped people sitting and, of course, the cheerleaders and the press and all this. The brawl goes off into their area. DeSosa ends up picking up a chair. I don't care what Herman says. It was taken out of his hand. He was fixing to sling it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just chaos. It was very, very, very bad for the team and for the game. What pisses me off about it is, though, and you and I discussed this, should the dude have stolen it? No, there's kind of an unwritten rule there. But DeSosa took care of it.
Yep.
He blocked it, got the hell out of there. Why can't that be it? I understand it's a rivalry and all that, but just act like you've been there. Quit acting like freaking thugs. DeSosa's had issues in the past. He's been reprimanded before for technicals and stuff like that. And this is what gets me, too. Bill Self, the Kansas head coach, put a suspended DeSosa indefinitely until he heard of the NCAA punishments. He only gets 12 games, man.
Yep.
12 games. Kansas can lose all 12 of those games and still make the tournament and make a run. Like, there's nothing detrimental. I say rid of him.
I think they just – it's really going to show what Jeff Long and Bill Self is going to do, because I don't think he needs to play the rest of the year, tournament, no tournament. That shouldn't matter, because essentially what you're doing is a convenient load management. You're going to have the guy come in fresh for a tournament run, mm-hmm. have some extremely fresh legs, and who knows, you might bring him in the middle of a tournament because he's so fresh. But, yeah, no, in 12 games and – let's see, how else they broke it down. McCormick got suspended for 2 games. Then on the Kansas State side, Love and Gordon both got suspended for 8. Am I reading that right?
No, James Love got 8, and Antonio Gordon got 3.
Oh, okay.
And both teams reprimanded because players left the bench. That was bad, man. Like, and you could see it, a lot of the ESPN folks across the platform of college basketball, they were disgusted.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of players were disgusted, and every single one of them said DeSosa should be done for the year. I mean, at one point, they were talking about whether or not he ever plays college basketball again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I feel like
he does in a month.
Yeah, I feel like that's a talking, you know, that's worth talking about because he shouldn't be playing college basketball.
He was about to hit somebody upside the head with a chair.
But someone's going to give him a chance at some pro level, a G League or European or something like that. He's not going to be, you know, blacklisted from everything. But, I mean, it almost sounds like a wouldn't be a punishment at that point. Just, you know, quits halfway through the season, goes
and gets in ready for the combine or whatever he's got to do. And
his NBA transfer portal.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you see Kentucky? Halfway through, they got a guy, Whitley, former five-star guy. He's in
left.
The, yeah, he's in the portal now, too.
But something about it said that it's not what he thought it would be.
Yeah, his time at Kentucky is not what he thought it'd be.
I mean, come on over, buddy. See what's up.
How tall are you?
Yeah, right. Are
he's
you
a,
over
he's a guard.
6 foot?
He's a guard, so.
But what were your thoughts with this fight as far as, like I said, I keep kind of looking at it from a game perspective. I already feel like the game of basketball is already sort of losing its allure to me. But, I mean, kids watch that. There were people on Twitter freaking loving it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm talking about. That's why I watch the games. Like, why?
It's not hockey.
It's not hockey. It's not. I mean,
it's not UFC. There's other sports you can watch to go watch that kind of thing. Go watch a UFC fight. Go watch 40 seconds of Conor McGregor. I mean,
pay freaking $60 for it. Yeah.
60? It's like 80 or 90, man.
Was it?
Pay-per-view? Yeah. Pay-per-views 60. Are like 80 or 90. Is it 60? Maybe, was it the boxing that was 80?
The boxing was ridiculous. The McGregor and Mayweather. Yeah. No, that was stupid.
I don't do too many of the pay-per-views, so I was like,
yeah. Yeah, the boxing one, dude, that one, they had to make that one ridiculous. They paid them freaking half a fortune.
And now that's being brought up again, too, because I guess Floyd said something after he won.
Yeah, he done spend all the millions. He can't count, so he don't know how to keep up with it.
The IRS is just waiting there with their hand open. Like,
they're never going to get it.
They're never going to get it.
Sell your property and go buy a new one.
What else you got for us while we wrap up here?
No, not a whole lot. We have this one in there. I just wanted to point out that Zion Williamson might be stealing the ESPN throne from one LeBron James.
That's impossible.
Might be happening.
Who knows? But for the JRD Hawkcast, I'm Dylan Lee.
I'm Jordan Russell.
Shout out to producer Luke. You can hit us up. I tried something different. I do it. Whatever.
Liberty.
You can hit us up on Twitter at JRD Hawkcast. JRDHawkcast.com. We got some merchandise on there because we are self-funded getting that content to you. As soon as you hit that download button, you can join the action by giving us a call or text 479-308-8605. Until next time, and as always, woo, pig, Dewey. Because I got season tickets to the best seats in this place. And when my team takes the field, I won't cut you any slack. I'll be cheering like a schoolgirl won't be.